So I know we were supposed to be here in Colossians a couple weeks ago, and honestly, it was probably the Lord that we weren't there because as I was going back through and looking into what I was going to share, as it so often happens, the Lord completely changed where the focus was on for this study. So we're in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 through 23. I'm just going to read through it, then I'll pray, and then we'll just get into it. So starting in verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, have made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Lord, I just thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you that we can read through a section one day and the next day you show us something else, Lord. And I pray that you would just speak to our hearts now, Lord. Show us what you would have for each and every one of us, Lord. Just prepare our hearts for you to speak, Lord. I just pray that you would just go before this time and bless it, Lord. Amen. Last time when I was preparing for this, I was looking through it and I was having a very difficult time, not basically talking on almost the same thing that I talked on the study previously. Because as you look down through this section, it talks about in him and by him and through him and all things. And to me, in my mind, when I think of reconciliation and redemption, they're very similar. And so I was having such a hard time, like, I want to say the exact same thing and talk about the exact same thing as I talked about the previous study. And so I got sick. As I was just going back through and reading over it and reading through it and in my own personal devos and other parts, the Lord showed me something that I never really thought about before. And I never really noticed, I guess, in a section like this. So, yes, it's really cool that we see that it's all in him and through him and by him that we're reconciled. That it's through his blood that we're given peace and that we become blameless and holy and above reproach. But my focus this time is going to be mostly on verses 21 and 22. I think that they just kind of capture what Paul's trying to express here. So verse 21 says, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled you." And like always, I like to look up some just different words to give a better meaning to the section that we're going through. So I looked up the word alienated here, and it says to cause to feel isolated. And then it says enemies, which is to cause to coexist, not in harmony, right? It's like the opposite of harmony. It's literally an enemy, I don't know. But and then to reconcile is to cause to coexist in harmony. Reconciliation is literally the opposite of an enemy. It's to fix that relationship. And that's why I had such a hard time seeing the difference from redemption that we talked about last week to the reconciliation, because it's a fixing of that relationship that's been broken by the alienation and the enemies that were created. And so if you would just turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I think it really talks about the alienation and enemies that we've caused that bridge between ourselves and Christ. before we're saved, and even sometimes while we're saved, when that sin separates us from God, and yet we are reconciled through his blood. So starting in verse 1, it said, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you were once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were natures of wrath as the others." And so here we see that before Christ, right, before we accept him, where that sin has separated us from him, right? It says we're dead in our trespasses and sins. I don't know about you guys, I'm sure, because we're all human. We've all had those relationships that can so easily be broken because whether we lie or we steal from someone or we hate them, right? That those murderous thoughts, they, those things like separate us, and even more so those things that are sins between us and other people. I can't imagine like the relationship between us and God, because like, if you think about it, say I was talking to mommy and I told her a complete lie. She completely believed me. And then later found out that I was lying. She wouldn't be able to trust me. That bond that we had would be broken, and she'd be questioning what I was saying. And it would take a long time to rebuild that trust that was once there. And that's where that alienation and the enemies of Christ comes, because alienation is to cause to feel isolated. So when you're constantly lying to someone, they can't trust you. They're not going to come close and be able to relate to you. And so you become alienated. And if you're constantly lying, if you're constantly hurting other people, you're going to be isolated. You're going to be alienated, because no one's going to want to build that relationship with you. And so it's just shown there in verse 3, 1 through 3 of Ephesians chapter 2. And if you continue on in that section in Ephesians, verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places." You see that restoring of the relationship, that reconciliation, as he's made us alive together with him. And he raises us up, sit in those heavenly places. It's close to Christ, right? As you see that rebuilding of that relationship. "That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so here we see that it's through Christ, and we see that in Colossians, right? We see that it's by him and it's in him that alienated relationship, those things that we were dead in the trespasses, that were now brought to life in him, brought to life through his blood. As it said in verse 20 of Colossians chapter 1, it says that whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And that's how that reconciliation, that's how we're able to be brought back together. If you would turn to Romans chapter 5. Starting in verse 6, it says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God, he demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners," you know, while we were still alienated from him, while we were still his enemies, "Christ died for us. Much more than having now been saved from wrath through him, For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And again, reconciliation means it's the cause to coexist in harmony. And so here we see that even while we were sinners and enemies, even while we were still sinners and enemies, he died for us. It says that when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. And so it's by his sacrifice, it's by what he did for us that we're no longer isolated from him, that we can now approach him. We can approach his throne, right? We can go right to God because of what he did. We're no longer isolated from him. And then if you would just turn over a couple chapters to chapter 8 of Romans, and again, starting in verse 6. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you who are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who is raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So there we see again, even though we were carnally minded, which is death, right? Once we came to Christ, God truly, he looks at Christ's righteousness, right? It says in verse 10, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It's not because of our righteousness. It's because of the righteousness that is bestowed upon us because of Christ and because of what he did on the cross. So if you would go back to Colossians, we're going to look at verse 22. 21, the last end, where it says, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, blameless, above reproach in his sight. So here we see that yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present us in this way, right? Holy is to be set apart. He takes us, and even though we were sinners, right? We were carnal. In that last section that we read, to be carnally minded is death. We were dead, right? Dead in those trespasses. He presents us holy. He presents us set apart. He presents us blameless. To be blameless is to be innocent of wrongdoing. Right? No fault can be found in you if you're innocent of wrongdoing. It's as if when he looks at us, we're blameless because our slate has been wiped clean. Those sins are no longer seen because his death that has covered us. And then we're seen as above reproach. The word approach means it's the expression of disapproval or disappointment, right? So to be above reproach, it means that there is no criticism can be made at all. It means to be perfect. And truly, all of us know we're not perfect. It's only by him. It's through him. It's in him. All of those words that's all scattered throughout this section. But honestly, before we're reconciled, Christ, God has to look at us with reproach, right? He has to look at us with disapproval and disappointment. It's like when a parent looks at their child who has done something wrong, and you can't be angry at them, but you just feel disappointed. You're like, oh, I thought I taught them better than this, or I thought that I showed them that this was wrong, but you just feel disappointed. And that's how the Father looks at us before we're covered by Christ. When he looks at us covered by Christ's sacrifice for us, he sees nothing. He sees us as perfected. And I don't know, that's shocking to me because we're not perfect. We've done so much wrong. And yet he looks at us as perfect because his own son died for us. Sorry. But anyways. Thank you. Anyways. But yeah, if we look even more into that reconciliation, that repairing of that bond, there was actually another definition that came up. Let me read it verbatim on here because it will just be easier. Okay. So, of course, as I had said before, the first definition that comes up is the cause to coexist in harmony. And that's where we look at that alienation, the enemies, and Christ has reconciled us so that we can live in harmony. We're no longer enemies to him. But there's actually another definition of reconcile, which if you really look at it, which with my husband's help, it's really cool. It means to make one's accounts consistent with another, especially by allowing for a transaction begun but not yet completed. And it's talking about, like, banking. It's talking about money. And when I was in high school, I took a college business math class, and we learned how to reconcile accounts and stuff. But of course, that was like almost 5 years ago, and I obviously am a bit rusty since 5 years. And it's not like now we have all these online apps and everything, so it's not like we have to like reconcile our accounts or anything. And so I asked Noah, and I was like, okay, I didn't tell him what it was for. I told him afterwards because I wanted him to not put in some kind of like bias like thing to try to make it fit into here. And I was like, so do people come in and still reconcile their bank accounts? I was like, do you have to do stuff like that for people? And he was like, oh yeah. He's like, it's kind of annoying, honestly. But he's like, we have this one guy who always comes in and he has his book, and it's all his checks and everything, and then checks that's been given to him, and it's logged because, you know, he works in a business and he has to make sure he's got this money in his account, and as checks are coming in, he logs that and subtracts when he puts a check out, and he wants that balance to be right. And so he comes in, and the bank goes, okay, yep, we've received that, oh no, that's not there, So he brings in this book, and they check and make sure that they line up. So they basically take his account and the bank's account and make sure that they agree. And it's cool because, honestly, picture us as the person coming in with the account. And say you've written something wrong in there, and your account is, you're really in debt. You don't have money. You're in the red. And you go into the bank, and the bank's like, oh, no, you're totally fine. You're in the green. These things are wrong, and these things don't match up. You know what people look at? They look at the bank's record. When you go to apply for a loan, or you go to get a new credit card or whatever, right, they're going to look at what the bank says is true, right? And if the bank says you're in the green, then you're in the green, right? And that's just how it is when we're reconciled to Christ. He doesn't look at those sins anymore. He doesn't see that debt that needs to be paid. He doesn't see that anymore. He sees what Christ did. So, like, Christ is like the bank, right? God goes to Christ and is like, oh, yeah, their debt has been paid in full. They're all set. They're in the green, right? I think about what Christ said on the cross, right? It's tetelestai. It means paid in full. Right? When he died on that cross, he was like, it's done. It's finished. Tetelestai. It's paid in full. That debt has been reconciled. So that now we have that access to Christ. If you would turn to Colossians. That would be 2 Corinthians. It will start with C's, okay? Chapter 5. Starting in verse 16, it says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Right? It's that wiping of the slate. Now all things are of God. Yeah. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Right? So there we see that Christ reconciling the world to himself, he didn't input their trespasses, right? He inputted himself, right, in that place of the trespasses. He died in that place so that we would be reconciled. And then we're made new, right? That new creation, right? As we came to him, definitely not blameless, but blameful. We came to him not set apart, but set in the world, right? Of the world, not above reproach, but full of reproach. And now he's presented us holy and blameless and above reproach, reconciled to himself so that we can exist in harmony with the Father, so that we can come to him. And honestly, reconciliation is so cool to me because of that harmony that's now created, because of that blood that covers those sins and wipes the slate clean, we literally have access to the Father. That harmony that has been created, and we can go to him anytime with anything, right? In 1 John, it says if we confess anything, he's faithful to forgive us, right? Because we're now in harmony with him because our slate has been reconciled. It's just, I don't know, it's above my brain, honestly. Like, I can't even comprehend that in his sight he sees me as holy, blameless, and above reproach because I'm not, right? And yet he sees me that way because it says in verse 20, having been made peace through the blood of his cross. Because of that, it's all clean, all wiped away. So I'm going to just pray and then get into the books. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for while we were still alienated from you, Lord, that you saw it fit to reconcile us to yourself, Lord, that you paid that debt for us, Lord, that we can access the Father, that we can talk to you, that we can talk to him, Lord, that that we can read your word, Lord, and that you can speak to us, Lord. And I thank you that we can just come before you, Lord, and I thank you for loving us enough to come and to die for us. because you are enough for us, Lord, and we thank you for using us. I pray that you would just draw us closer and closer to you, Lord, and we just love you. Amen.